This is the Paper Mask Podcast. A podcast for discussion and analysis of music, movies, television, and more. A warning, these conversations may contain harsh language and possible plot spoilers in our film and television reviews. Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to the Paper Mask Podcast. This is Steven.
And this is Tom.
And this is Scott, the mysterious third brother.
And on this podcast, since on a previous episode we've talked a bit about some comic book movies like Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, and things like that, we decided since we've got a resident comic book nerd in the house today...
What?
We'd talk a little bit more about the rise of the comic book movie. Okay, so I figure first we should probably each discuss where we, you know, what our background is with comic book movies. So, Tom, why don't you start things off?
Okay, I'd have to say that really when I was a kid, comic book movies never really interested me as much. I guess comic books in general just weren't a really big part of my life. I think that really the one thing that I really got into was video games, and that's actually where I first started hearing of a lot of the characters. There was a little Game Boy game called Captain America and the Avengers. And
it's scary.
It was yours, Scott.
It is my game.
And that's where I learned about that had Captain America, Iron Man,
Hawkeye,
and Vision.
Yes. I'll refer to Vision as a there's some hot buzz on the interwebs about the Vision.
I knew about your basic superheroes. I knew about Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman. Those were the big three, of course. Really, I think we saw Batman Forever, or at least we had that on VHS.
Oh, we saw it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, one of those things I really can't say I remember that much about. Or
for those of you at home, Steve made a hanging himself motion.
Yeah, I was going to say...
totally unintentionally. But yeah.
But... No, I just...
Anybody else remember Jim Carrey grabbing his crotch?
Just me. Vividly.
And the ding-dong sound it made.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I'm pretty sure that's...
Like Jim Carrey.
I have nightmares about it. Cool.
Oh, God.
That's like a whole era of Jim Carrey grabbing his crotch. That's probably what the 90s were to me, was basically Jim Carrey grabbing his crotch.
That's like, okay, and how would you typify the 90s? Jim Carrey grabbing his crotch. Yeah, that was all that happened.
There was grunge, there was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then Jim Carrey grabbed his crotch a lot. That was basically what we had in the 90s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
That's what happened.
Nice to meet you.
Iceman cometh.
Hell freezes over.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
Thought it was a meteor.
You guys are losing me with this reference.
Arnold, Mr. Freeze.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah. I got
Spoke
you.
Spoke entirely of ice buns.
Block that one out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen the clips again. I haven't seen that movie in a long, long time. It's terrible.
It is Joel Schumacher, so what do you expect him? But really, to wrap things up, I really got more into the superhero movies once again. It started to become a major part of my life probably when the first Spider-Man movies came out. The
Sam Raimi ones?
Yeah, the Sam Raimi trilogy of Spider-Man movies. That's where it started for me, and for a lot of people, I imagine, as well.
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies, to me, basically are summed up as, it started out strong and ended in emo.
I mean, the first movie...
I'm lucky enough to have not seen the third one yet.
No.
Oh my god.
I've seen the clip of Peter the Parker dance. Dancing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because when you get an evil symbiote in your blood, you dance.
you just gotta dance.
You wear mascara, you slick your hair to the side, and you boogie down the street.
Well, you know.
And I think there might have been some girlfriend slapping in there, too.
maybe.
Yeah.
But the only thing I've seen of that movie is that clip, and like I turned it on TV once, and it was this some scene with Topher Grace as Eddie Venom. Brock, Venom, yeah. And like the line reading was just so off that I couldn't even stand to watch it for more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't really watch all of it. We had it on the DVR the one time, and I got...
Because you saw the dancing, and you had a seizure, is what happened, I think.
Yeah, that's about it.
Or aneurysms, something
I think that's probably what happened.
But really, I just didn't feel like watching all the... Because I had heard about all the... the emo crap and whatever you want to call it.
But Bruce Campbell was a French waiter.
That's true.
So really, I just skipped around and to what I just was interested in what they did with Venom, just like for special effects and stuff like that, and Sandman, I guess. So I skipped around to those parts, and I guess
grew up.
Yeah, it was okay, I guess, but I mean. That's a lot of times in these podcasts I've said, oh, with these movies, well, the special effects are okay, are pretty good, and the fight scenes are pretty good. I think that's really because a lot of people, that's what you want to see it for, so they spend a lot of their money and a lot of their time working on that. So if you can't get a fight scene good in these days, I think that's a really big problem. But
I think it's worth noting that like the early superhero movies were a lot of throwaway scripts with great action and some stupid jokes, and that's pretty much what you got. There was really no depth of character. There was, you know, Wolverine giving a metal finger to a
to Cyclops, I think.
Metal detector, I think it was.
He give it to Cyclops?
I think that's what it was. You're right. Yeah.
I get, and in some cases, we have a good amount of it, in some cases, and too much of it, in other cases, of just character development. It's really, I think, it's also just a delicate art. It depends on the character itself, who you're dealing with. We'll get to the Batman later, I guess, but people nowadays really expect a dark, brooding Batman, so they'll spend a good amount of time doing that, but you gotta, of course, make sure you get your action scenes in. And then if you have movies like the Spider-Man movies where half the movie is character development, it gets boring after a while. So what I'm trying to say is that I guess they're still working it out. They haven't perfected it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're getting pretty close, honestly. I think it's really the biggest problem right now is just oversaturation. There's just so many that are coming out all at once, and as much as I love a good superhero movie, it is, it's starting to become a real problem, I think, and this is something I wanted to bring up and get your guys' thoughts on. We're seeing, basically, what is like 5 or 6 superhero movies coming out every summer, and then a bunch more speckled into the rest of the year, and a couple big movies that were supposed to be huge, that were big budget movies, specifically like Pacific Rim, that were big budget movies that, you know, people were really excited about seeing, but they died at the box office because everyone was going to see movies like The Wolverine and those sorts of movies, superhero movies. It's starting to be like people don't really take leaps of faith anymore with things that they don't already recognize the characters from.
Sure.
So what you're saying is
a
like
shared universe or something like that.
Because like people know what to expect going into a superhero movie, that people aren't willing to take a risk on something that isn't that because it.
Well, yeah. I think superhero movies have sort of become a safety net. You know, they know you're gonna get big box office numbers. Superhero movies keep breaking records, like, oh, this opening box office, beat this out, you know, beat
no
Titanic,
shit.
Beat, you know, this, that, and the other thing, for fastest, you know, amount of money made in the box office for a weekend during the spring, during Christmas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these movies, Pacific Rim, by the way, if you haven't seen it, go fucking see that movie. That movie is spectacular in a cheesy and epic and crazy way. That movie is so good. And it really just sort of got the shaft because people were spending their money on other things.
Oh, I think you're right about that. I think especially with the Marvel movies, I think people have a need to see all of those movies because of the Avengers and how well that played out and how well it built up toward mm-hmm, that movie. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time commenting on it because, like, the majority of movies I've seen this year are shit anyway. Right. So, like, sure, there are a lot of movies that do get...
Right, I'm as guilty as anyone of being like, because I love comic book movies and I love superheroes.
Right.
I'll go and watch a superhero movie way before I'll watch, like, The Butler.
Sure.
You know? I'm going to spend my money on Wolverine mm-hmm. because I read Wolverine comic books and I want to see what, you know, these people have to say, have to do, can do with the story. So, yeah, I think that is a problem. I mean, I love Guillermo del Toro. If I hadn't, would I have gone and seen... Yeah, no, I would have. It's Giant Monsters Fight Giant Robots. Come on, people! Watch that fucking movie! Just so you know, there's a moment in the movie, and this is a spoiler a little bit, but it should motivate you to go watch this movie, find it in whatever theater might still be carrying it, if you got one of those $2 theaters that we got in Buffalo. There's a part in this movie where the female lead says to the male lead, "Oh no, I think we're out of ammo." And then she says, "Wait, I forgot about the giant sword." And the robot whips out a giant sword. It's fucking amazing. Why aren't you people watching this movie? Come on! Kick-Ass 2?
Yeah.
Fuck Kick-Ass 2!
Yeah.
Giant robots, man! That have nothing to do with Michael Bay.
Yeah, thankfully. Anyway.
But, like, again, like, we have... It's interesting that we have things like Pacific Rim making that should be seen, but aren't. And then we have, like, again, and Kick-Ass 2, which is not... Marvel or DC, is it?
No, but it's no. got it's, it, it is a it, it is no no it is from... it is an imprint from Marvel.
Yeah,
right.
So Marvel
right.
Marvel puts out Kick-Ass.
Right.
And also the Hit Girl spinoff that part of that movie was based on. That right. movie was a mashup of.
I don't really.
Should we just get past our shared history of comics and just go?
Yeah,
right
Yeah, I'll just
the...
summarize mine really quick. I've never. Been into comic books that heavily. I remember probably my earliest experience was seeing some of the Fleischer 40s Superman cartoons just like on a VHS tape of like public domain cartoons with like Mighty Mouse and whatever
I
else on
them
it.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's about it. And then
sort of mishmashed in there with like Bugs Bunny cartoons
right.
and yeah, that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
All that shit. Casper.
Casper, yeah, yeah. Everything that they could fit on there. And then there was some, like, beautifully drawn Fleischer Superman
yes.
cartoons.
Yeah.
yeah,
fantastic. But other than that, I don't remember a lot except, like, the video game that Tom mentioned before. And really the first movie I think I remember seeing that was comic book related was probably Batman Forever. That's really sad to say out loud. And I remember seeing that and Batman and Robin, also very sad to say out loud. Like, along the line, I remember seeing X-Men, the first X-Men movie, and then probably Spider-Man was the first one I actually actively liked at the time. Any of the Batman movies I kind of forgot after I left the theater, and that was pretty much the end of that. And
yeah, well, I think I already sort of started out with those, either the... The Schumacher
yeah.
Batman movies,
or the
Tim Burton ones, and that's I first saw the Tim Burton movies at a friend's sleepover.
Yeah,
and specifically remember watching like the Penguin, Danny DeVito's Penguin biting somebody's nose off.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later because
you're not a fan of the Penguin by Danny DeVito. I love that movie.
Oh, I fucking hate that movie.
Oh, really?
So much.
Oh, come on. Come
Catwoman on. Catwoman literally says, "I am Catwoman, hear me roar."
That's... Come on. Yeah, but it's a Tim Burton movie. You gotta expect
the first one was fine. Like the first one, I was okay with.
Catwoman's origin in this one is so good. It's so like that Catwoman's so iconic, and that's what I think. So many people were so up in arms. It's like you can't follow up that Catwoman with something that. Well, I'm
fucking glad they didn't follow up that Catwoman. All
right. Anyway.
Anyway.
Haters be hating.
Yeah. After those Batman movies, I didn't really remember anything about them. And then Spider-Man came along, and I liked that one, and the second one, fine enough. I honestly haven't returned to them.
I remember if the Spider-Man movies came up before X-Men. I think X-Men came
before.
Right.
And after Spider-Man, I didn't really become a comic book fan, I guess. I still really don't follow comic books that much. I like the Nolan Batman trilogy, except for the last installment, which I so-so on. But basically, the only comics I've really read are Batman ones. You know, the comic books that everybody else has read, like The Killing Joke and The Long Halloween and Batman, or The Dark Knight Returns and things like that. That's really my background with it. It's very... very much a newbie or relatively unexperienced in that genre.
So yeah, I am the comic book nerd of the group. I worked in a comic book store in New York City for 3 years or something like that, and read more superhero comics than I care to explain to you. But I think, yeah, like I said, I started watching the Batman movie, the Tim Burton Batman movies at like sleepovers or whatever, and then basically sort of didn't really see anything until the first X-Men movie. And that, I think, was sort of the separation for pretty much everybody. There was some, like, little low-budget movies, I think, between then, but...
Mm-hmm. Fantastic Four.
That was
probably, like...
I remember, actually, now...
That was after,
like,
Spider-Man.
The one of the Hulk movies, it was, like, one of those...
Oh, Ang Lee's
Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also after X-Men, though.
Yeah.
X-Men, I think, was the first one.
Yeah.
And that movie's... the first X-Men movie doesn't hold up quite as well, but I think those, out of that first little burst of Marvel movies, you had X-Men, and then Spider-Man, and then the Hulk... The X-Men movies probably hold up the best when you go back and look at them afterwards. Those Spider-Man movies do not stand the test of time too well. I guess two being the best out of the three because of the action. There are still... I watched a YouTube clip recently of the scene where Spider-Man first fights Doc Ock on a clock tower, and they're throwing like pieces of the clock at each other, and they end up on a subway, like battling each other. God damn, that's a great
I remember
comic
that.
Book battle. Well, like on the big screen. That is one that they did real right.
I think Sam Raimi was kind of a brilliant choice to direct that, and a terrible choice at the same time.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Because just in terms of camera movements and cinematography, I think it's a fantastic idea. Because if you've seen any of the Evil Dead movies, the way that he moves the camera as part of, like, you know, the forest coming to life, and that those handheld shots where it's coming to attack the people, especially like that last shot in the first movie where it's just coming to attack Ash, like, those are great shots. And if you're going to do a Spider-Man movie where he's flying through the city, you want that kind of camera movement.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, he's going to do stupid shit like turn Peter Parker emo and, you know, like in Bruce Campbell at every... Like, I love Bruce Campbell, but I don't need to see him in every single Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those Spider-Man movies, my biggest problem with them is just the corniness, like, of the script. And and the overacting done by everybody is just, like, Spider-Man's got attitude, you know? Spider-Man's he's, like, snappy and witty, and really, he's just whining about his girlfriend. Half that
which
he does. I understand this is, like, a teenage drama of a kid becoming a superhero and growing up into this man that can defend New York from this, that, and the other thing. That is what Spider-Man is, too. But at the same time, like...
He needs to have a little bit
more
bite to
it. They've come to a point in the comic books where they like, the other superheroes in the Marvel Universe are like, does this guy ever shut up? Because he is constantly, like, cracking wise at, sure, at the supervillains.
Like, even I knew, like,
mid-battle.
Not reading any Spider-Man comics, I knew that before seeing any of the movies. I knew that Peter Parker was always making wisecracks, like, mm-hmm, when he was out fighting bad guys or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was really the fatal flaw. And I mean, to be fair, Sony pushed them, and by that, Sam Raimi and his crew around, and sort of, and partly because of Marvel, partly because they just wanted to sell action figures, I think, and, you know, tried to get them to include in the third movie three villains, and one of being Venom, who, right, Sam Raimi had absolutely no interest in putting, yeah, into a movie, and that was really...
Yeah, I've heard that, and yeah.
I did not know that, actually.
That movie was basically Sam Raimi telling Sony to fuck off. Yeah. That was basically, I mean, from what I understand.
Yeah, I wasn't there, basically what I've heard, but, too.
Yeah.
And like,
okay, I didn't hear that, actually.
Yeah, he didn't want to put Venom in. That was basically because of the fans and for Sony pushing him,
yeah,
to be in the movie.
Yeah, it makes
Venom
sense.
Venom sells t-shirts.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like you were saying, those movies are really overacted. And again, in a movie like Evil Dead or Army of Darkness, that works because, like, and especially in Army of Darkness, it's supposed to be funny. Like, it's Ash in Middle Ages. Like, you know,
yeah,
how else are you going to play that? But
right, right.
But with Spider-Man, with, you know, how many ever fans it has, like, while you're gonna get a ton of people watching your movie because it's Sam Raimi doing a Spider-Man movie,
yeah,
how many people you're going to alienate that have been loyal to the comics because you're playing it up as this ridiculous thing, and you know,
yeah. And there was like for a little while there was the Curse of Threes, like after that Spider-Man movie, there's a Spider-Man movie, and then X-Men 1 and 2 were pretty good, and then the third one was just this awful clusterfuck of just stupid decisions where they kill off Cyclops, and they that movie's terrible too. I mean, had its moments, I guess, but
to be honest, I've never made it past two in that series.
Well, more power to you. I mean, you don't need to, because it's pretty tough.
Yeah,
that third movie's not so good, and then you have the Ang Lee Hulk
with the Hulk dogs.
Yeah,
vaguely remember that.
It's awful.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't remember a lot about that movie, except that it was Bruce or Eric Bana.
Bruce,
like,
Bana?
Bruce Bana. Yeah.
Bruce Bana.
Like, he has an appropriate name for that role, I guess. Yeah. But, I remember it just... Mostly, I remember it being totally ineffectual. Like, I don't remember being mad about it when I left the theater. I just remember being like, oh, I saw a movie.
Yeah, I didn't remember thinking, oh, that was awesome, or it's like, well, it's just like, eh.
And to be honest, I've never really been that huge of a Hulk fan, but...
I mean, neither was I. I mean, I the Edward Norton version I thought was better, but still didn't make me care about the Hulk.
Right.
Didn't really until the Avengers, which...
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I think the Hulk is a difficult character to make a whole movie around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the Avengers, it's really cool because it's not about him, really. Like, he's part of the story, and he can come in...
He's a device. He's a plot
device. He's a device.
Mm-hmm. Which
but,
is... Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's only so much you can do with a Hulk story that, you know... Like,
yeah, I mean, the Hulk is, you're just retelling a Frankenstein story, which is how...
It's more
or like Jekyll and Hyde.
I was going to say Jekyll
and Hyde. Frankenstein, well, you know, it's all those movies sort of smashed together, which is like man and monster, and,
sure,
you know, but that's really, there's not much more you can do with that story. That's all that original. You're going to have him punching a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, the technology just wasn't even there to make that kind of movie happen. They sort of tried to execute that, I think, too early on.
Yeah.
But,
and I think in that case, that's why he works better as a device, because as a standalone thing, it's been done so many times, and, like, you know what to expect from it, I guess, that in a way, because, so it's only a small part of the movie that kind of makes it a little bit better,
yeah, the focus isn't on him, so, like, the movie can function better and he can add something to it, but it's not entirely dependent on...
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right, exactly, yes. Let's move from the past to
present day.
Let's just call it the post-Nolan era. You have these three moments in time where it's like the Tim Burton Batman movies and the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, and then you have the X-Men movies with the Spider-Man movies. You also have sort of in between there all those terrible Batman Forevers and Robins and
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredds and Punishers and
Howard the Duck.
Blade.
Man-Thing.
Blade, apparently. I've never seen it. Guillermo del Toro movie.
Is it really?
Apparently. Oh. Go figure.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Guess I'll have to look that one up. Yeah. Actually did watch a clip of that. Not too shabby.
Blade?
Just saw a clip of him, like, hacking people down, and it was pretty okay.
Mm.
Pretty okay. I'm not going to say good. Yeah. Anyway, so now you move into the era of Batman Begins comes out, and I believe right around that same time, the first Iron Man movie came out, and that was just sort of that ushered in, you know, now superhero movies are making money.
Can actually be well done.
Can be something that can be taken seriously in a movie theater and aren't just, like, throwaway special effects movies. Robert Downey Jr. bringing some real heart and soul to a superhero. Also,
it's funny because his heart's damaged.
Yes. Yeah, giving, like, and also having, like, the CG to pull off that Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's important also. And then those Batman movies, which were just a really realistic, dark take on a superhero movie. So yeah, you have these two combating styles. You have this Marvel universe and this DC universe, just like you have in the comic books. And that sort of starts what we have right now, which is the Marvel universe, which is severely fragmented, but going along pretty well. And then the DC universe, which had a good run for a second and then had some awful shit happen to it. Green Lantern with basically where the Green Lantern fought a giant yellow booger from outer space. And
I didn't bother to see that one, but
don't. Uh-huh. Honestly, there was some good parts in that movie, but really just like they, you know.
We can't forget about Jonah Hex and.
Yeah, we can. Oh yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those in-betweeny kind of. DC universe has had a rocky ride.
Road to Perdition.
Yeah, I guess that is, and same with.
Really?
Yeah, Road to Perdition.
That Viggo Mortensen movie.
V for Vendetta. Not V for Vendetta.
No.
History of Violence.
History of Violence, also a comic book movie.
Yes.
An indie comic book movie. We've had a lot of that. A lot of, like, apparently comic books just became open season for people to just
pull, like, even stories stuff from. Like,
it actually became, like, a viable place to pull
script
from.
You see movies like that and, like, Red with, which is just, like, a...
Bruno.
Big Bruce Willis action movie vehicle, which I saw actually in theaters, and I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
It was fine.
This is kind of touching on a point that I was going to make earlier, is that, like, we are getting a lot of movies now that aren't, like, some movies anyway, that aren't Marvel or DC. Like, recently there was R.I.P.D. that came out. Oh, I guess that's me.
That one
Dark Horse, I guess.
Like Ghostbusters with Jeff Bridges and
basically
pretty much.
R.I.P.D. was a blip on the radar. It really didn't make much of a splash, and from what I heard, it was
like
pretty
bad. Week in theaters, like maybe a little more.
But what I was gonna say is that, like, I guess a little. It's a very difficult thing for people to make a movie about a comic that's not Marvel or DC, but. I guess it still could happen, and like you were saying with other comics.
Hellboy,
definitely.
Hellboy is a fantastic couple movies.
Watchmen DC or...
Watchmen is DC. It's Vertigo, which is owned by DC, yes.
I guess it would be kind of difficult to make
a movie that's supposed to be based on a comic book that isn't a comic book that everybody's read.
Yeah, obviously something like a Spider-Man or, you know, a Captain America is going to easily have its own audience already.
Of course.
I think it goes back to the same sort of problem where you have this sort of saturation of those Marvel and DC characters and people go to what they know, which is you're obviously going to see a Spider-Man movie before you see a movie about two dudes who are sort of like the Ghostbusters but are from an obscure Dark Horse comic.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure that they're, like, that's kind of a bad example of, like, right. something to see.
It is a bad, it's a bad example.
Only I'm just making it relevant to...
Yeah, no, only in that it was something that if it was executed right, people still wouldn't have given it a chance because no one knows what RIPD is.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that's, I think, that's a shame. As much as I really like comic book movies, I think there's just so many of them out there that they make such a big push for and people get so riled up about that that a lot of other things get drawn out. So we got this current sort of face off of Marvel and DC, and Marvel has I think put out a pretty strong bunch of movies. Iron Man starting it off and then going into Thor and Captain America. And then the Avengers, I guess the Hulk sort of counts in there.
It was after...
even though it went from, you know, they switched actors a third time.
Which, I think, what's his name? Mark Ruffalo.
Yes, yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, I think, is a really good choice to play.
Oh, he's a fantastic Hulk. And he even looks a little bit like the Hulk when he's just a man.
Yeah, he
and
does.
And so when he turns into the Hulk, his face is fully believable he is making those Hulk expressions.
Totally
he's fantastic.
Get it. Yes.
I actually would go and see a Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo starring in it.
I would too.
I could care less about the Hulk in general, but I would go and see that movie.
Yeah.
Because I think he just plays such a like a broken man, Banner, and I almost said Eric Bana.
Yes, he plays Eric Banner.
He plays Eric Banner real well.
He gets the
Mark Ruffalo as Eric Banner, as Bruce Banner.
And then you got the DC Universe, which has put out three movies that are pretty well received, which is the Dark Knight trilogy. But I think, other than that, and I'm sure some people would argue me on Man of Steel.
I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't. I heard your review. But some people, I think, liked that movie, from what I'm to understand.
Uh-huh.
But DC has put out a lot of shit. And they are attempting to build a universe. They have the Batman movies, which sort of ended, and they are trying to bring in Ben Affleck to now play Batman.
Before we get into that, let me just say... I didn't get into Iron Man or the Nolan Batman movies for the most part when they were coming out. I came to them fairly late. But those two series especially are probably my favorite superhero series so far.
Yeah.
I saw the Nolan trilogy probably first out of both of them and really enjoy Batman Begins. Thought Dark Knight was fantastic. Dark Knight Rises was kind of a disappointment, but it was, it was, you know, competently made.
Yeah,
for the most part.
No, I think you're right. I think there was only so much you could do with what they had left.
Well, you know, it's like, okay, you take a ludicrous example like Star Wars, and, you know, the first movie is, you know, well done. It sets things up. And the second one is the darkest one. It brings in like the heaviest conflict. But the third one, if they're doing a trilogy, they need to tie up loose strings.
I think The Dark Knight Rises did a good, aside from having some things that I thought were just crazy leaps.
Yes.
That you're asking people that are, you know,
I mean,
everyone's sort of a fan of Batman. Whether if you're going to see a Batman movie, everyone sort of knows the story. And everyone is sort of a fan of, you know, the general rules of who Batman is.
Sure.
You know? And I think that movie asked you to take some leaps that I think even for the casual fan of Batman, it's hard for you to take those leaps.
Yeah.
For example, Robin replacing Batman at the end,
yes.
maybe?
Which, okay. One, I understand, and I do give it some credit because it did have the job of tying together all the loose ends that were made by the first two movies, and it did an adequate job for the most part in that, and some of the plot holes and things like that I can understand because they were trying to bring everything to a close. They were trying to finish things out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's some stuff that I still find stupid, like the fact that the Robin in this case is actually named Robin,
mm-hmm.
and not something like Dick Grayson or, mm-hmm. you know, that, like, maybe not everybody would have got it,
yeah,
but it would have at least been a little bit more subtle and not just, oh, by the way, remember that sidekick we never brought into these movies? This is him.
Yep, and, absolutely. Yeah, and, yeah, that like, hey, dummies.
Yeah.
Hey, dummies, his name is Robin. So, you know, maybe he's Robin, but, yeah, but Batman?
But maybe he's Batman.
Because there's no Batman and anymore,
if,
so
maybe if they had
made
it, what's the name of the guy in Batman Beyond? I forget.
Oh,
Terry
McGinnis.
Yeah, maybe if they did that, I mean, it'd be
but
that's
I think
more
of
a futuristic thing, but I guess it would
I would have bought it more than Robin, I'll be honest with you. I would have bought it more than Robin.
And, but on that note, like, if people probably have seen the animated series, they probably would have known Dick Grayson or...
That's true. That's true.
Or Tim Drake. But I also think it kind of fell short in some of just basic movie making. Like, not to slight Christopher Nolan, because I really like Christopher Nolan, apart from Batman movies, like something like Memento.
Well, I have a fundamental problem with I love Christopher Nolan in general, but I have a fundamental problem with all his movies, and I think his Batman movies suffer less from this, but I think Dark Knight Rises did to a point, is... There is no heart to those movies. There is just, like, my point, and here's this thing that I'm trying to drive home, and I have my characters, and you're supposed to care about these characters because I told you you are.
Sure.
Not because I gave them a compelling, like, gripping...
Yeah,
anything.
It's not because...
I think Leonardo DiCaprio in Inception was about as close as you ever came to giving a shit about the plight of any of those characters.
Right. And if you see something like Memento, like... It's not really that you're connecting with Guy Pearce or anything in that movie. It's just that a bunch of weird shit's happening and you want to know, like, the story's fragmented and you want to know what's really happening. It's because of the mystery, not because you're compelled by the character.
Right. And I think The Dark Knight, which I love that movie, however, where in that movie am I supposed to give a shit about Batman?
Yeah.
The reason you keep watching The Dark Knight is because the Joker is so compelling.
Yes.
You want to know more about the Joker.
Right.
Well, and you want to know more about Two-Face, but it's a Batman movie.
Yes, but it's the way that Joker is challenging what Batman stands for. It's not that you feel for Batman necessarily. Wouldn't that have been an even better movie?
Yes, I'm not arguing with that. If you would have loved Batman and wanted him... And wanted good to stand... Like, honestly, at the end of that movie, I kind of wanted to see the Joker just do fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of rooting for the bad guy, which I do not think was the point.
I don't disagree with that.
It seems like that's, like, a lot what happens. Like, that you see, with all the stuff that comes out, I mean, especially with Heath Ledger's death, unfortunately, but also just... That's what a lot of the marketing thing became after it. It wasn't. Yeah.
Come see Heath Ledger's Joker because he went so crazy that, you know, sadly to say, I think they marketed it sneakily sort of as...
Sure.
This was the role that Heath Ledger played so well that he went nuts and died.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was exploitative.
Definitely.
But I think that's a little bit of what happened.
I'm not disagreeing with that, you know, you're kind of more invested in Joker than you are in Batman, but I think he used that in a way that people know what Batman stands for and Batman's ethics, and he used that in place of character development or sympathy for a character, and use the Joker to combat that, and that's what made the conflict so compelling in that movie.
I think what The Dark Knight is a Gotham City movie. It's a movie about Gotham City, and that's I guess I just wish there was a little bit more heart paid attention to who Batman was in that movie. I think that would have been just you know, an even more gripping. And you really had that with Batman Begins, which I think is a really underrated movie.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they made a mess of my favorite Batman bad guy, the Scarecrow. I think that's a really I think that was a movie that you saw a lot of heart in and in the character of Batman, and I think a little bit of that would have added a lot to The Dark Knight. And The Dark Knight Rises, I think the biggest problem with it was a problem that a lot of superhero movies suffer from, which is too many villain syndrome.
Yes.
you know, and or that, that I think that universe just sort of got that because, you know, sadly out of necessity, because you could have had the Joker back for round three and wrapped
right.
it up.
Or you could have just mentioned Joker once. They don't even talk about it.
That out of respect to a point.
I understand, but for the point of the story. In that universe, Joker still happened.
Yeah, like
all that stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could have... Okay, well... Let's go back to this movie and just sort of a couple of the problems I had with it. The biggest problem I had with that movie, again, because again, the problem like is like the character, like the heart of the and soul of the character just isn't there, is you have this Batman who's a torn and broken man because he is now like become the villain of Gotham City.
Sure. And on that point, why is his leg fucked up? Because I never got that from Dark Knight, that he was injured.
Did the Joker kick him in the kneecap? Something get dislodged? Do he fall? Hurt his kneecaps?
Like, if they covered that or something?
I don't know, but I never thought that was really explained.
That was not
well.
Explained at all. Like, I don't think so.
Okay, Batman's been...
You're probably going to get some nerds
probably.
Commenting on
and
your...
You know what? Fine. You know what? Tell
please,
me.
Please, nerds, we'd love to hear from you. Why the fuck is Batman's leg fucked up?
Unite and take
over. Unite and take
over. but yeah, like...
Comic book nerds of the world.
I just came into that movie like, okay, I get you're setting up the story, but why is he... I get that he's distraught over his girlfriend dying. Fine. But now he's Dr. House. I don't...
Is that because of the popularity of the House?
I don't know.
And there's also a limp thing that happens in the British Sherlock. Watson has a limp that's psychosomatic. He's like got a, you know, he's got a post-traumatic stress disorder,
right.
And it causes him to limp at first. So is
correlation?
This a... We get trying to okay.
Anyway, continue.
My biggest problem with The Dark Knight Rises, other than just the all too neat wrap up and the is he's like never gonna be Batman again. Keeps telling everybody I can't be Batman again. Alfred even flips on changes his mind and begs him to be Batman again. He's like, fuck you, Alfred. I'm not gonna be Batman again. Ugh. You can't make me. And then one day he goes over to Lucius Fox's place and Lucius Fox shows him a helicopter made out of the Batmobile and is like, well, it'd be nice if I had a Batman to fly this sexy helicopter. And Batman's like, God damn it, I'll do it.
And like,
I'll do
at
it.
At the end of the last...
And I was like, toys? That's what made him flip? His girlfriend died, and I get Batman's into his gadgets, but really? It wasn't the passion speech by his heartbroken
right?
butler. It wasn't like
it's like
the him getting back into action because of Catwoman. None of that stuff did it for him. It was a helicopter. That's what made him become Batman again.
That's
unbelievable. That's not that.
It's like taking Bond at the end of Casino Royale and saying, okay, your girlfriend died and she was really interested in somebody else and you never want to do this again, but Q has this really cool BMW for you, and...
I'll do it. Say that in a Sean Connery voice,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Anytime you talk about Bond, I will always use a Sean Connery voice.
Yes. I use a T. Daltz voice.
Oh. It's a nice twist. I like that. But yeah, that's sort of what I'm alluding to, is just, like, the overarching problem. And there were great scenes in that movie. I'm no, by no means saying this was a bad movie.
Mm-hmm. Can I just jump in here? I just want to make one little nitpick on something you mentioned. Spoilers a little bit. At one point...
Like, have you really not fucking seen The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Shut this podcast off if you've not seen The Dark Knight. You can pause this shit. Go watch that movie.
Like, okay, dummy. All of us love The Dark Knight, so watch it. Yeah, so Lucius
we
Fox...
We insult you on this podcast.
Lucius Fox is like, okay, you've gone too far. I'm never doing anything for you again. Like, this is the last time I am helping you at all.
Helicopter!
But, and yeah, like, so why is he like, ooh, looky here.
And aside from that...
Put on the Batman helmet!
God damn it, I gotta be the Batman.
And
fuck,
like,
that's a nice helicopter. God damn it. You got me over a barrel, Lucius. I really wanna fly that puppy around town, but it'd be weird if Bruce Wayne was just flying a bat Luke and helicopter around. If only the autopilot worked.
Oh god, let's not
problem.
Sorry,
anyway,
I shouldn't have started the
two last complaints about right. that movie.
Okay.
I shouldn't have started.
One, you brought up that Alfred was telling him that he should come back as Batman. And right after he does, and Bane comes out and he's wanting to butt heads with Bane. Then he's saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't do this. This guy's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird flip-flopping on...
And another thing...
Just doesn't really... No one's motivations really make any sense
no.
in that movie.
And then my second problem is that he reveals... Okay, he reveals this note that Rachel wrote, and Batman... Or whatever. Bruce Wayne's going to fire him.
Brucey.
Bruce Banner?
Bruno. I think we're talking about Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then in this confrontation they're having, then Alfred's saying, you know, I would truly be happy, Master Bruce, if I went to this cafe, looked over, saw you there, maybe with a woman, maybe with some kids.
Maybe with Catwoman.
We don't know. And then we would look at each other, and we would both know that you were happy. I wouldn't have to say anything. You wouldn't have to say anything. I would get up, and I would be happy. You just gave away the end of your fucking movie. And I thought that the minute I saw it, I'm like, okay, I know how this movie's going to end.
Yeah, Chris.
And I don't give a shit.
Chris. Why'd you do that, bro?
Like, this is a concernedly specific scenario that Alfred is setting up.
Yeah.
Why not just say,
actually,
I want you to be happy?
No. Not only does he set it up, we see the clip.
We see the clip.
We go to clip.
Yes. And you know what? Okay. It irritated the shit out of me that they did that. But if they had done that, if they had for some reason chosen that was the way to go, they wanted to say that and they wanted to echo that at the end with that being the resolution, okay, it's still stupid. But if you're going to do it, why don't you do it that instead of you see Alfred at the cafe or whatever, and you see him look over, and then you show a shot of Bruce and Catwoman there at the cafe, why don't you show, at least be a little bit more discreet about it, show a shot of Alfred at this cafe, see him get his drink, see him look over and smile, and play, like, you know, some sort of theme that we can get that it's Bruce Wayne. Don't show him and just
don't
see...
show the clip that we saw earlier
don't, yeah,
already. Like...
Don't just leave some mystery. We know that it's fucking Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So why don't you just do that and
wait,
not be so...
Let me add to this scene that you're setting, because I like where you're going with it. I like Alfred looking over.
Uh-huh.
And smiling.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you go to black. You cut to black.
That's what I mean.
Wait. And then you just hear, I'm Batman.
Roll credits! 5 stars.
Hey, Chris, I fixed your movie.
Director's cut. Go.
Credit us, please.
Can we move on from The Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, fuck me.
And that's where I'm going to cut it this week. In the meantime, go and check out our blog site at thepapermask.wordpress.com. That's thepapermasque.wordpress.com, where we have reviews of music like David Bowie's The Next Day and all the other David Bowie's albums in our David Bowie retrospective series. And you can check out our new retrospective series on John Frusciante, all of John Frusciante's discography. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Tumblr, SoundCloud, any of that. And there you'll be able to get updates on new blog entries, new podcasts, anything like that. Also, feel free to leave us comments on those pages or on our main site. Tell us what you'd like to hear from the podcast, what you'd like to hear in our blog reviews. And speaking of reviews, go over to iTunes and give us a positive review so that more listeners like you can find us and can enjoy these podcasts with you. So until next time, this is Steven. Good night. Thank you for listening to the Paper Mask Podcast. For more discussions, visit the Paper Mask main site at thepapermask.wordpress.com, the Paper Mask SoundCloud page, or the iTunes page, where you can subscribe and receive each new episode as they're released. Also, stop by the Paper Mask main site to read our written reviews of music like The Civil War's Barton Hollow, Billy Joel's The River of Dreams, and movies like the Swell Season documentary film. You can also check out our recently finished David Bowie retrospective series, in which we take a look at each of David Bowie's official studio albums. And join the discussion by leaving a comment on our main site or by following us on Facebook and Twitter. You can help the Paper Mask expand into the world of blogging and podcasting by heading to our main site and clicking the PayPal donation button on the side. This podcast is a Paper Mask production. Narrations, theme music, and editing done by Steven. The Paper Mask will return.
Hello and welcome to the Paper Mask Podcast. Oh, fuck.
You didn't do anything wrong.
No, I just had nothing after that.
And that's the end of our podcast. Ba-bum-ba-bum-bum-bum.
Matt.
Stretch. Stretch. Steve's giving you this end of stretch.
Oh, man. Time Jesus. Here. Oh, why do I have to do it? It's not here. My podcast.
Oh, he's giving you the time to compress. Oh, cut that shit. Cut it. Cut,
We've got our first blooper, folks.
It's a bit dark, isn't it?
Anyway.
All right, take two.
We good?
We good.
Think so.
All right.
This is going poorly. All right. I'm a fan. I've listened. Do you need me to start your show for you?
That's
okay.
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 All right. Probably going to want to put your phone a little bit over there. It's causing interference.
Oh, shit. That was my go-to notes. Yeah. All right, fine. Well, I'm winging it.
All right. So I guess...
Freeballing.
This is gonna be a disaster.
We don't have video.
Well, that's your loss. Is it? And by you, I mean the listener.
Is it?
Come on, why didn't you have the camera here? Get your ass over here, get the camera
all right, here. All right. Let's go. Coming up, so we can talk about
his scantily clad attire. Yeah.
Androids and underpants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really how I got interested. I well not
That's how I get
about androids and underpants.
Yeah, how, that's how I got interested in androids and underpants. And it became my obsession. Do androids dream of electric sheep? No, I don't think so. But they do dream of themselves in underpants.
It's a laser vision does wonders with those underpants.
Anyway.
Carry on. All right.
I mean, anyway, getting back to and our original.
You to compress and compress. Okay.
And right. I'm done. Right. No, actually,
movies.
I think that was the big three for a lot of people growing up in the 90s.
Those are oil companies.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Like,
Exxon,
what do you want me to...
Speederman.
Whatever.
I got nothing. Keep going.
Okay. But again, it really...
Are you talking?
No. No, I don't even... I'm not even on this podcast. You're just imagining it.
I was wondering where you came from.
All right, then.
I'm sorry, guys. I took up like half the
No, you know you didn't. We just moved on to more interesting stuff.
We'll just cut all of it out.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just cut it down to...
We'll make that a bonus thing that you have to pay for.
We just cut it down to, I had the video game.
And we're out.
But yeah, just to summarize...
Compress.
All right.